If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with you, Sheikh Javid. Well, let me ask you this question along the same line. What is the ruling on paying the fasting kafara or atonement of a non-Sayyid individual to a Sayyid one?
Right. Well, of course, a non-Sayyid may give mustahab sadaqah or charity to a Sayyid without any issue. There is no problem. As long as the charity given to a Sayyid is mustahab and it's not mandatory, it is permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. The restriction only applies to wajib sadaqah, like for example zakatul mal, the zakat which is deducted from the property, and also zakat al-fitra. These are the obligatory forms or examples of wajib sadaqah, which non-sayyids cannot give to sayyids. Of course, like you want to give your zakat of your property, like you have a huge crop or maybe a huge cattle, and you want to give the zakat from them, so you cannot give the zakat to sayyids. The voluntary charity is permissible and even recommended, as it fosters compassion and unity within the community. It makes no difference whether you give it to a Sayyid or a non-Sayyid, as long as it is voluntary and recommended.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sheikh Javid, what about giving mustahab sadaqah, I mean recommended charity, to a Sayyid? We know that a non-Sayyid cannot give his wajib, obligatory charity or sadaqah, like zakat, for example, to a Sayyid.
Yes.
Is it permissible?
I think I need to reiterate and okay. state that it's quite permissible to give mustahab and recommended sadaqah to a Sayyid.
Right.
The giver is a Sayyid or a non-Sayyid, it makes no difference. But when it comes to wajib sadaqah, of course, like zakat al-fitr, zakat of property, it cannot be given to a Sayyid by a non-Sayyid.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program after a short break momentarily. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are with Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Shaykh Javid, some individuals, some people offer their qada prayer or missed prayers in congregation in mosques. And the imam of the congregation also offer qada prayers which were surely missed.
Right.
Or he offers as a caution, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Is it permissible to do it?
Well, if the imam of the congregation is certainly performing a qada prayer, a prayer that he definitely missed, and there's no doubt when it comes to missing that prayer, then others may also pray behind him, and he can serve as a prayer leader. And it makes no difference whether their own prayer is certainly qada or possibly qada. Okay, the people who follow that imam can follow him irrespective of whether they themselves offer qada prayers or maybe certainly qada prayers or possibly qada prayers. In this case, the connection ittisal of the congregational prayer is valid. But if the imam is only performing the prayer as a matter of ihtiyat, precaution, meaning he is unsure if he actually missed it and is offering it just in case, then of course others cannot validly connect behind him. Yes, unless they are also offering it as a prayer of caution.
Mm-hmm.
If the imamum also offers salat al-ihtiyat, then that's okay. Or their reason for caution is the same as the imam's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this condition, of course, ensures unity of intention and prevents disconnection in the jama'ah prayer.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
If my khums year ends on the first day of February, okay?
Yes.
But my salary is paid on, let's say, 28th of January, is khums to be paid on it? Should we actually pay the khums?
Well, of course, January is the first month and February is the second month of the English year.
Yes.
If your khums year ends, let's say, on February 1st and you receive your salary on January 28th, as you said, the ruling depends on how the money is spent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you spend the salary within 5 days after the khums year ends, like, for example, 5 years after the February 1st, the 1st of February, right? Within five days. So if you spend the salary within 5 days after the khums year ends, like before February 5, then no khums is due on that salary according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini. Maybe the ruling differs when it comes to the other scholars and other maraja.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you keep some of it unspent, then technically it becomes part of your surplus and would normally be subject to khums.
Now, for the whole year?
Yeah. If, for example, you did not spend it within 5 days after the end of the khums year.
Uh-huh.
So after that, it is considered to be a kind of surplus. It is in excess of your annual needs. And of course, every individual must pay khums on anything, in any item of clothing or any item of food or drink, which is in excess of your annual expenditure.
Yes.
Yes. So there's His Eminence says that there's an exception if you save money due to reasonable anxiety about future needs, and even after paying khums you would not feel financially secure, then of course that amount is not liable to khums. Okay. But once the concern is resolved, for example by receiving new income,
mm-hmm.
it is an act of caution, ihtiyat.
Okay.
Of course, the ihtiyat is mustahab to pay khums on what remains unused.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Stick around when we come back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, in which cases should we pay homes on animals kept at home?
Right. The ruling actually depends on the purpose of keeping the animals, right? Mm. If they are kept for personal use, like for milk, eggs, or wool, then no homes is due on the animals themselves, no homes.
Yes.
However, if their product, if their products remain unused at the end of the homes year, those products become subject to homes. Okay. You, for example, you have a number of cows or maybe sheep, and you use those cows or sheep to sell their milk to other people. To other people. In that case, of course, you should pay homes on the proceeds. You should pay homes on the milk, if not on the proceeds, okay? And if the animals are kept to be slaughtered for meat, for personal consumption, or raised for sale and profit, then they are treated as investment assets and are subject to homes. Yes.
I see.
Homes, based on their market value, of course. Homes should be paid based on their current market value.
I see. In cases where the patient is medically incurable and has to endure very severe pain until death,
right?
Can he be anesthetized with his own consent until death so that he does not feel the pain?
Well, this is a very frequently asked question. I think we have touched on this issue in the past many times. The religious authorities, none of the religious authorities, as far as I know, has allowed the anesthesia solution at snort, even if the patient consents to it. If a patient is terminally ill and suffers actually unbearable pain until death, it is permissible to administer in some cases anesthesia or painkillers with the patient's consent, as long as it does not hasten or precipitate
death.
Right, because anesthesia is one thing, and using, you know, that's called the, I don't know, the special
euthanasia.
Yes, that's another thing.
Another issue.
Yeah,
and you're talking about anesthesia.
Yeah, anesthesia, and also removing the life support machine. Okay, when someone is, it depends on the machines connected to electricity and connected to the patient. It's not permissible to remove those, resuscitating apparatus. That's not okay.
But if they can afford it?
If they can't afford it, it is something else. Everybody should do whatever he can afford.
And the hospital actually requires some money, and you don't have enough money actually to pay for the...
Okay, he himself should not remove it. Uh-huh. The person himself does not remove it. Let someone else do it, and he'll be responsible.
Oh.
Yes. And, of course, anesthesia is allowed if it does not inflict major harm beyond the intended pain relief, okay? And this falls under the principle of mercy and the removal of unbearable hardship, as long as life itself is not deliberately shortened and precipitated.
I see.
The death is not precipitated.
Uh-huh, okay. But usually they use painkillers to ease the pain.
To ease the pain, yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't actually precipitate, as far as I know.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Death, yes.
No, it doesn't. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio, whereby we try to delve into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javed. And thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.